Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dearda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to welcome Dennis Shelby, CEO of Wilson Medical Center in Yodeshe, Kansas. Dennis, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. First of all, I got to tell you, I really appreciate Becker's. I look at your publications every day online, and when you don't have time to go through journals, it's the best way to stay up on the healthcare world. So with that being said, I've been in healthcare a long time. I've been in healthcare for over 40 years. I've been in leadership roles in three different kinds of hospitals. Started out as a medical social worker in a large 240-bed hospital in Central California, and then got into leadership and then the opportunity to move into administration, first in freestanding psychiatric hospitals, and then most of my career was in acute rehabilitation hospitals. And feel very fortunate that in the last 10 years, I've been able to spend time in the places where I grew up, in the sense in rural America. I grew up in a small town of 800 people. And so now I feel like it's my time to give back to rural America, particularly in the area of healthcare.
Well, fantastic. And thank you so much for being here again, Dennis. Now, could you tell us a little bit about Wilson Medical Center as well and a few points of pride?
Sure. Wilson Medical Center is a hospital that's been in Yodeshe for over 100 years. We were the first county hospital in the state of Kansas. And the community is very proud of our hospital. About 12 years ago, we built our hospital, our community built a brand new replacement hospital. So when I came here, it had already been in existence for about a year and a half. So that's one sense of pride, is we have a beautiful facility. The other thing that I'm proud of is, as you know, any organization, it's the people that makes the hospital. And I'm very proud of the people that we have. People tell us all the time that our place is friendly, that they feel like they're treated like family. And I'm proud that they also mention that we're a clean facility. So those are some of the things that, you know, I'm really proud about. Probably the thing that we've done in the last couple of years, which is unique, we are partnering with another critical access hospital that's only 11 miles away. And what we're doing is sharing directors. So when I lost my director of laboratory services, I knew that the hospital up the road had a very good director. So we decided we could just share that position. And then when they needed somebody in health information management, I had somebody that we could share with them. And then most recently, we are sharing a materials management purchasing person. So you have two competing hospitals in the same county that are sharing directors, increasing the quality, and also reducing our expense. As far as I'm concerned, you know, there's no way in today's rural market that you can survive without collaboration. So those are some of the things I'm proud of about our facility.
That's a great point. And it really sounds like you found some interesting and unique ways to partner with other organizations and obviously the other critical access hospital to really make the most of your resources. The next question I have is looking at the coronavirus pandemic. What are you seeing right now with COVID-19, and how have your strategies evolved for mitigating it?
Well, you know, the first 6 months, when we go back to March, the middle of March, we saw very little COVID in the market as far as positive cases. We maybe only had like 3 or 4 positive cases. But at that time, you know, we were being proactive, and we discontinued outpatient surgeries. So we obviously saw that drop almost overnight. And then we also saw people fearful of coming to our clinics and our hospital. Like they were concerned that they were going to catch COVID there. So I'm proud of our team. We put together very quickly a COVID COVID-19 task force. And the first things we jumped on were trying to get our patients seen because people were neglecting being seen. So we set up a curbside clinic and laboratory services. And that plus the telehealth services, we started seeing patients, if you will, via Skype, that sort of method. And by doing that, we were able to, within 6 weeks, to see our patient volume increase to about 80% of what it was prior to the pandemic starting. So those are some of the things that we've done. Now, fast forward to today, in the last 2 months, things have just exploded around here. We have seen, like today or yesterday we treated, or we had 96 curbside labs that we took. And of those 96, 22 were positive. That's a pretty high percentage. And so we are seeing that for the last 2 months, particularly after Thanksgiving. And we're a little concerned about what we're going to do after Christmas and with the flu. Some of the other things that we've done, in fact, today they're installing it. We have now, with the use of the CARES Act money, we have a carport that's permanent so that our patients that receive the curbside lab and clinics can drive under it. There will be a heating element so that we can deal with the cold. And so that's going to be a much better setup than what we currently have, which is truly at the curbside in the front of our hospital. So that's something that we're really excited that has come into fruition. Right now, the concern that I see with my staff is, and not only my staff, but the community, I believe people are just tired. They're just tired of COVID. They're tired of wearing the mask. They're tired of not being able to do what they wanted to do last summer. Things have been put on hold. So my leadership team is focused on what can we do to make the workplace more fun. So that's what we are really focusing on right now. And real proud of all of our staff, because some of our line staff have come up with some great ideas. We have something called a thankful jar, where what are you thankful for in 2020? You know, most of the focus now is, oh, we got to get 2020 behind us. But one of our staff said, hey, we're going to do this thankful jar. And we put it online and people are telling everybody what they're thankful for in 2020. We have a joke of the day. We're doing daily drawings for gifts between now and Christmas, doing some fun things like getting to know your leaders and managers and doing some contests around that. We have a refreshment cart that we take around. We have popcorn. Our board early on agreed to pay our employees hazard pay. And so our employees get an additional $2 an hour as long as the pandemic is going, and the board votes on that on a monthly basis. So, and then, oh yeah, the last thing is we recently got hero t-shirts that are employees can wear anytime they want to wear. And we made Jeans Day official. You can wear jeans anytime during this pandemic. So those are some of the things that we're doing and some of the things I'm proud of about how our facility has responded, or people have responded, and what we're doing to address this pandemic.
It sounds like you have a lot going on, and really, you know, especially with your staff members and your team there, to really keep things as light as possible during the pandemic and make sure you have a great culture and keep morale up. So that's great to hear. And thank you so much for sharing all that information with us. Now, Dennis, I know the COVID-19 vaccine has begun to be distributed across the United States. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your experience at Wilson Medical Center, and especially as the CEO of a rural hospital. Could you talk to me a little bit about your experience with the COVID-19 vaccine?
Sure. We received our first batch of vaccinations in middle December. We received enough vaccines to do 40 of our employees, to vaccinate 40 of our employees. We did those, and of the 40 that we gave, we were able to get those completed in about 4 days. We're waiting for the other vaccinations to show up for those that are on the waiting list. I'm happy to say that we've had very little issue with the vaccination. I think the only thing that we've heard is people having tenderness around where this shot was given. My concern is how many people will actually take the vaccination. We did a survey of our hospital and clinic employees, and it looked like about 48% of the people were interested in having the vaccination. So obviously that's a concern, and if we would like as many as possible to take the vaccination. So I think that number will increase as the word gets out that there are no side effects that hindered the person. Obviously, I'm a big believer in vaccinations, and I believe it will go a long ways to help us stop the spread of the virus. So it's just, it's going to be a day-to-day thing. The other interesting thing that we weren't expecting is we really don't know when the next doses will be shipped. So we're just ready. And when they come, you know, we have like 5 days to get them, all the people vaccinated to use up the vaccine.
My final question for you has to do with leadership. What are 3 pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders today?
I've been doing this a long time, and I really took that question to heart when you sent it to me to ponder. And like I said, having been in the field 40 years, a little more wise than I was back then when I started, the 3 things that if I could share with others is, number one is don't be afraid to make mistakes. So many times I see young leaders that are afraid to make mistakes. Well, we're all going to make mistakes. And we get paralyzed sometimes by, well, I don't want to mess up. If I mess up, I might lose my job or that sort of thing. So just, you know, don't be afraid to make mistakes and obviously learn from those mistakes. Second thing I've learned, and I do coaching myself, but to get a coach and mentor to maximize your development sooner versus later. And then something that I think we're hearing more and more about in recent years is get a handle on work-life balance. These leadership roles in rural and urban, wherever, in healthcare, with healthcare constantly changing, it's real easy to forget to take care of yourself. And if you don't have a good balance between work and your life outside of work, both suffer.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, especially when you're talking about having a work-life balance to make sure both areas of your life are able to thrive, finding that coach and mentor to develop into the future, and then finally not being afraid to make mistakes are all important aspects of, you know, becoming a leader of a healthcare organization and any kind of organization, really. So, Dennis, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a really great conversation, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
I appreciate you guys so much, and it's been a pleasure to visit with you today.